Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. Each weekday here on GCN, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths which are associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and with the media, with military and economic schemes. If you listen, your eyes may be opened and you may ultimately change your mind towards some of these things. Instead of merely presenting the news, my mission is to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines, all while trying to predict how these events will shape our world over the next 10, 15, and 20 years. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant. And because we are still in the midst of celebrating Matzah, we're going to continue our review of God's Torah teaching on this very special day. Our phone number for those who would like to question, criticize, or affirm anything that is presented over the next 2 hours is 877-300-7645. There was a snippet in the news this morning that said that Sudan's president, Omar Bashir, has promised to release all political prisoners within his country. In a speech at the opening night of Parliament, and this is essentially a dictatorship, the government said that it was committed to a national dialogue with all groups. Mr. Bashir's announcement was welcomed by Human Rights Watch, which said it hoped that it would lead to an end of the Islamic government's arbitrary detentions and torture. This is a quote from Human Rights Watch. There is a chronic pattern of human rights abuse in the Sudan. I share this with you mostly because I watched a little bit of 60 Minutes last night. They did a double feature on the Lost Boys. For those that don't know, the Lost Boys are the orphans, typically, from the south in the Sudan. This Islamic government in the north, using mostly European and American weapons, over the course of 25 years, systematically murdered 2.5 million African animists and African Christians. And after murdering 2.5 million Christians and animists, they began to hunt down African Muslims. And see, Islam is repulsive on all fronts. In fact, what we're seeing in Mali right now is the same thing, where African Muslims are being victimized by Arab Muslims. The government in the Sudan is an Arab Muslim government. And collectively now, the death toll of the genocide that has been perpetrated by the Sudanese government is approaching 3 million people. And yet, the world fancies itself going after all manner of dictators and all manner of crimes, and yet the international courts and the world is silent on what is happening in the Sudan. So last night, here's this presentation by 60 Minutes. They go into the whole story of the Lost Boys, and they call it a civil war. It's not a civil war that has taken place in the Sudan. It's been a genocide that has been promoted by the Islamic government in the north. They could not even say that these boys became orphans because of Islamic terrorism. It is a tragedy. Here they focus on and they wallow all over the fact that it was Christian communities that had been ravaged, but they never did mention Islam as the cause. It was interesting, though, that as these lost boys, the orphans that were given asylum in the United States, many of them living remarkably productive lives, that they settled in the United States, were given this opportunity to immigrate right at the time of 9/11. And they were interviewing these boys, and they all said, you know, it's the same war that is following us. And the 60-minute host said they, unlike Americans, understood the connection between terrorism and then he said Islam, But I played the sound back some 12 times. It was edited and cut so that it sounds like the connection between terrorism and Islam. It is astonishing that the world does not want to address the obvious, that Islam is the cause of 99% of the terrorist attacks in the world, and this Islamic government in the Sudan has perpetrated genocide, murdering nearly 3 million people. What good is it to tell a story if you're going to be so deceptive, so misleading, so incomplete in your review? Moving on to the next story, it's also about the media being unwilling to tell people the truth. An arrest warrant was issued for a popular Egyptian political satirist for allegedly insulting Islam and President Mohamed Morsi. Bassem Youssef has faced several complaints over his show, which is a show that sort of plays off of The Daily Show that is produced in America. He has poked fun of a wide range of figures, from television presenters to well-known Muslim scholars, and recently to Morsi himself. The case has highlighted worries about press freedoms in Egypt. You know, it's amazing that the media can be this ignorant, too. According to Sharia law, any insult to Muhammad, Allah, the Quran, or Islam, even in the slightest, the penalty for that is to kill. When it happens in Pakistan, as it happens regularly there, and even if the insult is extraordinarily minor, they not only go on a rampage to attack and bludgeon the alleged perpetrator, they'll go down and burn 20 or 30 Christian homes with the Christians inside. In Islam, there is no tolerance for criticism, because any honest discussion of Islam destroys the religion. The religion is so disgusting, so obviously false, so repulsive, that they cannot tolerate any open discussion regarding Muhammad, regarding Allah, regarding the Quran. Muhammad was the most repulsive man who ever lived. Yet, if you even hint at telling the truth about him, Muslims react by killing the messenger. It is a sad story. And making it worse, the parting line of one of the media outlets covering the story said, "It is a crime to insult any religion in Egypt." And this week, some lawyers filed complaints with the prosecutor's office alleging that Youssef mocked Islam. That's not true. In an Islamic country, you not only can mock Christians, you can murder them. In an Islamic country, you can mock atheists and murder them. In an Islamic country, you can mock Hindus and murder them. What you can't do in an Islamic country is tell the truth about Islam. Continuing to add insult to injury, a NATO helicopter supporting Afghan security forces killed 2 children and 9 suspected Taliban fighters on Saturday, officials said. The deaths reopen the often heated debate between those who blame NATO for the airstrikes that kill civilians and others who argue that NATO air support is vital for protecting the vulnerable Afghan security forces. Here's the reality. Muslims murder 99% of the women and children that are killed in their countries. They do it brazenly. They do it religiously. They purposefully become suicide bombers to kill women and children, and that is their intent. And Islamic terrorists often hide among their children, and under the skirts of their women, under the burqas of their women, because they know the consequence of collateral damage. That's why Israeli rockets, the raids, the so-called mythical people called the Palestinians, their rocket barrages all come from civilian areas, so that when Israel strikes back, there is always collateral damage and women and children are killed because the Muslims want them killed. And yet, when an American bombing or an Israeli reprisal kills women and children, not thinking, unable to put anything into context, not having any ability to make a reasonable comparison, the Muslims all go crazy, enraged, saying that the Americans are killing our women and children, we must avenge their death. And yet, why don't they go crazy when Shias kill Sunnis and Sunnis kill Shias, murdering women deliberately, murdering children deliberately, purposefully, premeditated murder? And yet they say nothing to that. Complete hypocrisy. The British were instrumental in arming the Islamic jihadists in Libya, who now are responsible for sexually assaulting British aid workers this week. Two workers were apparently abducted at a checkpoint near the city of Benghazi and held for hours before being freed, and during the time that they were being held, they were raped. A Libyan army official said that the arrested men were former members of the security forces who had been dismissed from their jobs several months ago. I doubt it that that is true. Speaking of telling the truth about Islam, a principal was murdered and eight other people, children, were injured in a grenade and gun attack at a school in Pakistan's city of Karachi. An unidentified motorcyclist hurled a hand grenade at the private middle school in Karachi before letting off a volley of shots. The school principal was badly hurt and later died of the injuries at the hospital. The eight others injured included another teacher and students at the school. The caretaker for the school condemned the attack as being cowardly, as being an attack purposefully to maim and kill innocent children. And yet the targeting of school children, including little girls, reflects the brutality of the terrorists, he said. Why couldn't he say the whole truth? It reflects the mentality of Muslims. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back with more news in a moment. Shattering this, at least those of you who may be hearing this. There have been a series of technical problems here at GCN. We were moved from what they call Channel 3 to Channel 5, but there's no listing of that move. The show just has disappeared from the scheduling screen of GCN, and there were issues with broadcasting live during the first segment of the show. Hopefully they figure this out and we get it resolved. Turning to a news story, this was a story actually from about 2 weeks ago, but I wanted to set it into the context of the horror that is being perpetrated by Muslims when you understand what is happening in, for example, the Sudan or Somalia, a neighboring country, or in Syria, where Muslims are behaving like Muslims, where they are engaged in mass murder. The President of the United States now says that it is Israel's interest to surrender the high ground of Judea and Samaria to these very same people. This is his comment. Quote, given the demographics west of the Jordan, the only way for Israel to endure and thrive as a Jewish and democratic state is through the realization of an independent and viable Palestine. Given the frustration in the international community, Israel must reverse an undertow of isolation And given the march of technology, the only way to protect the Israeli people is through the absence of war, because no wall is high enough and no iron dome is strong enough to stop every enemy from inflicting harm. Just think about that quote for a moment. So what he is saying is that because the Israelis did something that was probably foolish, but more tolerant than any country surrounding them, because they allowed Muslims, even Muslims who were opposed to the existence of Israel, to become Israeli citizens. And they said because of the fact, and also Muslims are the fastest growing group in terms of religious segment in the world, because they're breeding like rabbits, with multiple wives and with no hope. This is typically what happens. So here we have a situation where the Muslim population is not only growing rapidly, but they are universally hostile to Israel's existence. And so what this president wants to do is to tell Israel that it must give up huge swaths of its country, Judea and Samaria, to the very same people who are their enemies, who are in the process of and who have consistently in the past and who will continue in the future to inflict harm. They're saying that no iron dome is strong enough, no wall is high enough, and yet what they're proposing is giving up all ability to manage what happens on the other side of that wall. This was the same logic, if you want to call it that, that was used to induce Israel to surrender Gaza. Oh, you know, when you look at the demographics here, you just got to give them their own homeland. Well, what happened? It became a cesspool of terrorism. It became a place where it is where the people are wholly dependent upon handouts from the rest of the world. It became the launching pad for barrages of rockets into Israeli towns. And now this president says, based on the demographics, what you need to do now is give up Judea and Samaria. Well, if it was a disaster giving up Gaza, now imagine giving up the West Bank, giving up half of Jerusalem, putting the enemies of Israel such that there's less than a 10-mile divide between these two Islamic enclaves where 70% of the Israeli population resides. It is absolutely suicide, and he knows it, of course. It is actually as if he would like it to occur. Then he says, and I quote, put yourselves speaking to Jews. Of course, he couldn't speak to the mythical people known as the Palestinians because they were way too ruthless. They knew that if he actually tried to mix with Palestinians, they would kill him. He says, put yourself in their shoes. Look at the world through their eyes. And that's really a good thing to do, by the way. Not so much putting yourself in other people's shoes, but it is important to understand what motivates other people, what their perspective is on the world. And the perspective of these people is conditioned by Islam, which is why I shared those stories with you regarding Islam at the beginning of this program. Islam is the most destructive, the most deadly, the most corrupt, the most impoverishing, and the most damning religion ever conceived by man. If we put ourselves in a perspective where we understand what motivates them, what is in their best interest is not to give them their own state. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Out of President Barack Hussein Obama's mouth is only true if two things were true, neither of which are. One, that there was a Palestinian people, that there was actually a place, a nation called Palestine with a history for those people, and that the people themselves were not Muslims perpetrating hideous acts of terrorism. But since those things are different than the accepted norm. This next line is repulsive. It sounds New World Order-ish, PC correct. It reads, and this is exactly what the President of the United States said, "It is not fair that a Palestinian child cannot grow up in a state of her own." Think about that. Think about the errors that are latent in that statement. This is the reason why ignorance is so deadly. It's why Yahweh, in the book named Salvation, Hosha, said, "Because of your ignorance, you are destroyed." There is no such thing as a Palestinian. There hasn't been anything related to a Palestinian since, well, now 2,500 years ago. It's approximately when the Assyrians, Babylonians, annihilated the last Philistine. There are no more Philistines. And when there was a Philistine country, it was essentially Gaza. To pretend that there is a racial group known as Palestinians creates the myth that because there's this racial group, a people called Palestinians, which is not true, not even remotely true, that that group of people would then deserve their own state called Palestine. But that's not true. There has never been a state named Palestine. Ever. The second part of this is also repulsive, which is that it's not fair. It is fair. It's ultimately fair. When the Muslims living in Israel were not terrorizing Israelis, those Muslims were treated more fairly than any Muslims in the world. They were the most prosperous, the most industrious, the most free, the best educated, and the healthiest Muslims in terms of morality and mortality issues of any Muslims in the world. They were treated more than fairly when they were integrated into the state of Israel. But then the Muslim Brotherhood and Egypt conceived the Palestine Liberation Organization, and Fatah and Yasser Arafat came there and said, "No, we don't want Muslims prospering inside of a Jewish state. We want you to act as ruthless terrorists to kill the Jews." And so what's fair is that they don't get rewarded with a state of their own, because we should not reward terrorism. The third aspect of this that is also repulsive is he referenced this not as a state of his or her own, but of her own. Women in Israel have rights. Women in an Islamic country have no rights. They're treated like animals. A Palestinian, if you want to use the mythical term, girl in Israel is vastly more secure, has vastly greater opportunity, is vastly less likely to be abused by men than is a Islamic woman in an Islamic country. Things that just roll off the tongue that sound so right, at least in the ears of those who are ignorant and irrational, is the very fodder that is used to beguile people, whether it's to beguile them through politics or beguile them through religion or to beguile them through patriotism. The President of the United States just said something here that is utterly untrue, repulsive, counterproductive. It is saying that to be fair, we need to reward terrorism. To be fair, we must accept a racial status of people of which there is no basis, and that we must ignore the fact that that state will be an Islamic state and therefore women will have no rights. Half the population will be deprived of any rights whatsoever. speaks of the, he went on to say, and lives and lives in the presence. This is not fair that this Palestinian child cannot grow up in a state of her own. So Palestinians, I mean, Muslims don't typically grow old. The average age in the Islamic world is around 21 or 22 years old. That he can't grow up in a state of her own and lives in the presence of a foreign army that controls the movement of her parents every single day. Actually, the Israelis don't control the movements of Muslims. Those Muslims can move about in the areas where they live all they want. Israel only put up the fence because Muslims were moving into Israeli towns and committing acts of terrorism. They were acting like animals, and so they put up a wall to keep the animals out. You know, most of the world has put up walls because they treat their own citizens so poorly that their citizens tried to escape. That's the nature of the Iron Curtain. Communism, socialism, secular humanism was so repulsive, so demeaning to the people, that the perpetrators of these schemes had to put up walls to lock their people in. In the case of Israel, it's to lock people out because they are so savage. The reason that there is the IDF presence, the Israeli Defense Force presence in the West Bank, and regrettably there isn't an IDF present in Gaza anymore, is that with the IDF presence, it makes it much more difficult for the Muslims to launch terrorist raids and rocket attacks into Israel. When the IDF is gone, as it is gone now in Gaza, the place just turns into a cesspool. The Israeli army presence isn't foreign, Mr. President, to Judea and Samaria. It is not the presence of a foreign army. That also is repulsive. Judea and Samaria are part of Israel. God gave it to them. To call the Israeli army a foreign army in Israel, in Judea and Samaria, is again repulsive. And the truth is that rather than controlling her movements, which would happen in an Islamic country, look at Saudi Arabia. A woman can't even leave her house without her husband at her side or grown son or her father. Can't even leave her house. She can't leave the country. She can't drive a car. In an Islamic country, the movement of women is controlled by the Islamic religion and Islamic regimes. In the West Bank, the Muslims can move around freely. And this now example of a woman who is whose movements are being controlled and her parents' movements being controlled is utter rubbish. But the worst, of course, is the notion that it's a foreign army inside of Israel. Then he says it's not just when settler violence against Palestinians go unpunished. First, there are no such thing as Palestinians. And almost all settler violence, which is very minimal, is in response to Islamic terrorism. These settlers are shot at, slashed at, have stones and Molotov cocktails thrown at them almost nonstop. They live in a place where the Muslims are constantly attempting to kill them. And occasionally they respond. When a mosque preaches this kind of hatred and murderous actions, they'll go and they will take care of that mosque. But it's always as a result of having been attacked and responding to that that the settlers act. And the settlers who do commit acts against the Muslims in the West Bank are tried, and if they're guilty of a crime, they are convicted. But this is the rub. when the so-called mythical people known as the Palestinians, when these Muslims commit heinous crimes, murdering women and children, they are not only not incarcerated, they're not only not punished, they're paraded before the people as heroes. They're literally worshipped as heroes. And every time that a mythical person known as a Palestinian kidnaps an Israeli, an act where now the Israeli is being imprisoned for doing nothing, what the Palestinians demand is the release of thousands of criminals, all of whom have committed violent crimes, who have inspired violent crimes, who have been convicted in a genuine court of law. And so the perpetrators of Islamic terrorism go unpunished because of these trades, while the innocent victims of their terror are punished. He went on to say it's not right to prevent Palestinians from farming their lands. It's not their land. Full stop. It's not their land. And, you know, I have been through the West Bank. And one of the things that you notice in the West Bank, same thing is true with Gaza, is that very, very few Palestinians work. They have no interest in farming. When you look at farms in Israel, even those in the West Bank, the farms that are productive are managed by Israelis. They're worked by Israelis. The farming co-ops of Israelis, particularly in places like Gaza, are extraordinary. But they've even made the desert bloom with very sophisticated irrigation systems. This notion that is being perpetrated by the President of the United States is as mythical as the people he is supporting. Hello and welcome back to the final news hour of our news segment and the news hour of Shattering Mist. The President of the United States ended his quotation by saying it is not fair to displace Palestinian families from their home. Again, this plays directly into the myth. If we are going to have the President of the United States promote myths, then we're going to have politics here that is no more credible than the religions that we have. The people living in Israel were not displaced from their homes. When Israel was formed as a nation, given 0.2% of the land that was given to the Muslims surrounding them after the collapse of the Ottoman Empire and after the Holocaust. The reality is that the Israelis encouraged the Muslims to remain. They fully integrated them into their society. They did not steal their land. Those Muslims who left Israel did so at the urgence of the Arab League, who wanted them to flee so that Arab armies, Muslim armies, could savage the Jews more easily. That's the truth. And also, today even, when Israel builds homes, they always build homes on land that they have purchased. They don't steal it. They're not displacing families. When they're building homes on a piece of land, there are times, well, after they have bought it, that they will take down the shanty towns. For those who live in the United States and have seen the border crossing into Tijuana and see the difference between San Diego and the hillsides of Tijuana with land that is just dotted with cardboard and galvanized sheet metal structures that a strong wind would blow down. Well, sometimes there are elements of that, of unsafe, unsanitary housing that no one is protecting, no one is investing in, that is torn down. But even then, they work to relocate those individuals. I'm not telling you that Israel is perfect. You know, politically, they're as crazy as a two-headed goonie bird. I'm not telling you that they have been reconciled unto Yahweh, because they not. That has not happened yet. They are still estranged. I'm not telling you that everything that they do is right and everything the Muslims do is wrong. But I am telling you that there are very few nations on earth whose military are as decent, whose military leaders try as hard to prevent collateral damage, far harder than anyone in the United States. That's why I shared that story with you about the killing of women and children in the American air raid. No one works harder at minimizing collateral damage than the Israelis. No one. No one has been more fair to the indigenous peoples, if you want to call the interlopers that are known as the Palestinians indigenous. At least they were, some were there for generations. No one, no new country has ever treated those who were living there more generously than the Israelis did. And if you want to compare, look at what the United States did to people who were actually indigenous to this country, the American Indians. America has no room to speak. And for America to promote lies to achieve their agenda, which is the destruction of Israel, is repulsive. I constantly tell people, if you have to lie to make your point is not worth making, such is the case with the president's speech. Another item in the news is Shia worshippers in Iraq, in the capital of Baghdad, and in the northern city of Kirkuk, were targeted in a series of car bomb attacks over the weekend. 19 people were murdered. More than 100 were wounded. Great. Let's give the Muslims a state of their own. And what do you expect is going to happen? This is Iraq, the nation that America allegedly went in to liberate. And look what is happening. Another item in the news, same part of the world. A suicide attack on a convoy carrying a police commander in the Pakistani city of Peshawar has killed more than 10 people. The apparent target of the preliminary parliamentary council named Frontier was able to escape the attack, but in the attack, two women were among the dead and 27 innocent civilians were badly wounded. The Taliban, a fundamentalist Islamic group, said they carried out the attack. And another note, 15 Syrian students were murdered when the rebels, the jihadists that America is supporting, lobbed a mortar into the university.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' 1-month supply of high-quality nutrients.